Bracket season and the final four are here, so bet with MyBookie. Sign up today at MyBookie.ag and use promo code Gators to secure a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Only at MyBookie.
Gators Breakdown. Because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
The Gators Breakdown Podcast is ready to go. I'm your host, David Waters, and you can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. And I'm glad we're ready to go because I wasn't sure I'd be able to do an episode this week. I know a lot of you follow me on Twitter and stuff. I put it out there. I had very severe sinus infection late last week over the weekend. It got a little worse, so got to move down to my teeth and infected that area a little bit too. So I got to go have some oral surgery next week. So, fighting through it, a lot of pain involved, but got a little reprieve, got a little bit of a window here to try and get an episode out as best I can. So bear with me. This episode may be a little slow, may drift off a little bit. we'll see. It even hurts to smile there if you're watching on the YouTube version. Try power through it. Definitely want to get an episode out this week for you guys. And I don't remember the last time I've missed a week. Missed an episode for a week. So we'll see. How it goes. Hopefully all will be good for this episode here of Gators Breakdown. Plenty to talk about. Just want to get asked you guys. I threw up a poll on Twitter. Did it on Gators Breakdown Plus too. I'll do a separate episode to get the feedback I got from those guys on the Gators Breakdown Plus side. But also, I threw the question out on Twitter. To have the expectations changed after the spring practice? We know all the notes that we got from spring practice. We didn't get to see a lot, the notes of the quarterback struggles with Emory Jones and the offense struggling throughout most of the scrimmages. At three scrimmages, the defense won them all. Offense got better in that last scrimmage. Was that the expectation going in? Does your expectations change because of that? The improvement from the defense, not hearing great things about the offense. So I wanted to, gauge the fan base a little bit and get your guys' feedback and throw that out there. Let everybody discuss them amongst themselves on social media afterwards, and send them my way too. We can continue the discussion after this episode, but definitely wanted to get your guys' thoughts out there. I've always thought of this as a fan podcast, and we're going to continue that here with that and get your thoughts out there and talk back and forth with the expectations coming out of spring practice for the Gators. So before we start this episode, we got to give a congrats out to Ryan Spears. I hope I'm saying that right, Ryan, or Ryan Spears, Ryan Spires, but hopefully I get it right there in one of those. You're the winner of the Gators Breakdown Plus, giving away the Gators hover helmet. If you're watching on YouTube, you see the helmet spinning behind me now. Ryan was our winner of the Gators Breakdown Plus giveaway there. Everybody who signed up in these first few weeks was thrown in for a chance to win that. So congrats to Ryan there for winning the hover helmet. We'll be doing more giveaways coming up, of course, and as part of the benefit of joining Gators Breakdown Plus, there will be some giveaways along the same lines there as that hover helmet. So congrats once again, Ryan. Thanks for everybody who hopped on early to Gators Breakdown Plus. Hopefully I can get through this week of next week and a half after I have the surgery next week. Minor surgery, nothing big, I can ramp up the Gators Breakdown Plus even more there. But got to get the healthy part done first. But speaking of Gators Breakdown Plus, everybody, starting $3 a month for kind of general support. If you like what we do here on Gators Breakdown and want a little more, then it starts at just $3 a month. But if you want even more, you can go up to $10 a month. You see the tiers there if you're watching on YouTube, $3, $5, $10. And look, it's my goal to ensure you that no matter what level you choose to support, you'll get back more than you give. Members will receive full access to unique episodes, a blog that I have going on there, a Discord server where we can chat back and forth. Giveaways, as I've mentioned, ask me anything sessions, watch parties, shout outs, and more. Head to gatorsbreakdown.supportingcast.fm to check it out and join. Links in the description as well. There's three tiers to choose from. Sign up today for Gators Breakdown Plus. And before we move forward, remember you can find Gators Breakdown on news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown or your favorite podcast platform if you watch the YouTube version, but need to listen on the go, check it out on your favorite podcast platform. Or if you just want to, for whatever reason, see my ugly face, see my ugly mug, you can check out the YouTube version. There are a lot of people like that YouTube version. It's blowing up. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. It really, really, really helps us out here on Gators Breakdown. The more you like, the more you subscribe, the more people see Gators Breakdown, and gets us out there a bit more. So yeah, let's head to the poll that I put up here on Twitter, and your feedback, your comments that we'll discuss here on this episode of Gators Breakdown. And do it out there. Have your expectations changed for Florida now that spring practice is done, and why? So threw it out, the three choices there: same expectations, higher expectations, lower expectations. Out of about 500 votes, 59.6. So about 60% of you say you have the same expectations coming out of spring practice. About what I expected. I expected the majority to have the same expectations, because spring practice is just kind of what it is. Especially this year when we didn't get to see a whole lot. Hard to take a lot from it, but you know, we got to discuss what we're hearing out there. 21.5% of you said you have now lower expectations coming out of spring practice, and 18.9, basically 19% of you out there say you have higher expectations of the Gators coming out of spring practice. So let's start here with the first comment. Josh Horton says, same expectations, we should be contending for the SEC title. Realization of situations, we are an 8-win football team next year, 9 if we are lucky. And going to Josh's point there, that's kind of where we're at here. The expectation overall, program-wise, no matter what the year is, should be competing for an SEC title. Florida did that last year. That's what they were picked to do in 2020. They ended up doing that. Maybe not a conventional way, not the way it was supposed to look, of course, with the late season collapse there. So, look, the expectation is always that, but, you know, there have to be some realistic expectations. And I kind of think that's where you mend it to, his realization of a situation where we're an 8-win football team next year, 9 if we are lucky. And that brings up, I'm trying to find the comment here. It was about the expectation. Yeah, the Swamp thing. He said the expectations don't change. This is the University of Florida. Mullet even said the Gators standard is championships, period, end of story. You know, program that is. But, you know, there has to be some realistic expectations that come along with it. And it's realistic expectations going into year four if you're happy with it or not. You know, should we be going into year four with so many questions? Should we be going into year four where – I'm not saying a lot of the fan base is doing it, but I think if you have realistic expectations, you know, most people, you're going to realize a lot of media, a lot of people out there, a lot of Gator fans included, are going to be picking Georgia to win the SEC East. And should you feel that way going into year four of Dan Mullen, where Georgia is an overwhelming favorite to win the SEC East? And look, that was before spring practice. So that's kind of what I'm saying, where I think the expectation maybe even be the same for a lot of you. It's the same for me. I was picking Georgia before spring practice. I'm picking Georgia after spring practice too. You know, there was nothing Florida was going to do in spring practice that was going to say, oh, Florida's ready to, you know, pass Georgia for 2021 season. You know, I think if you look at both programs and in the situations here, it kind of reversed from a year ago. You know, Florida's got all the changes now on offense, and maybe some coaching changes, not on the offensive side of the ball like Georgia have, but on defense for the Gators. Florida's had a lot of questions on defense, like Georgia had a lot of questions on offense going into last year. You have the same situations of changing quarterbacks and losing a lot of offensive firepower, not necessarily firepower, a group of talent. You know, Georgia lost a lot of offensive linemen at the same time as they lost Jake Fromm. You know, Florida's losing their best offensive lineman while losing Kyle Trask, while losing Kyle Pitts, while losing Kadarius Toney there. So I think, you know, whatever your expectation was coming in the spring, it probably should have been a little bit of realistic And should you feel, and that's maybe a different question coming out of necessarily of what transpired during spring, if your expectation is going to really change or not. Maybe a separate conversation is going into year four, a year after you beat Georgia, a year after you win the SEC East. Should Georgia be the overwhelming favorite after you've accomplished all that? That's, you know, probably a topic for another day. An overall program look, not necessarily a going into 2021 look. And look, can I sit here and going to concede? You still got to go play the games. Florida's got enough talent to go out there and still compete with Alabama and beat Alabama in week three. I'm not saying it's going to happen. You know, Alabama's the best team in the country year in and year out. And, you know, it's going to ask a lot for Florida to be a team to beat Alabama in week three. But, you know, I'm going to sit here and say it's going to be some huge surprise and, you know, taken aback if, you know, Florida goes out there and wins the East somehow. Would they be picked? No. Would it be a mild surprise? I think yes, but it's not like, oh, you know, it wouldn't be some totally unexpected thing. Like, Florida's going to garner probably some votes when SEC Media Days rolls around there. You know, I think Georgia will be the overwhelming favorite there, but it's not like you're going to, you know, be totally aghast if Florida wins the East next year. Would it be a surprise? Yes, but not totally. Where it comes out of nowhere. Everybody's going to be picking Florida or Georgia next year. So I think it's just kind of where it goes. Maybe more of a program look there of the expectation of contending for an SEC title, but the realization, as Josh says, 8-win, maybe 9 if we're lucky. Next year for the Gators is what Josh says. So, you know, there was the thought of a ceiling and a floor for Dan Mullen when he was hired. And, you know, the floor is always going to be pretty good under Dan Mullen. What's the ceiling? I think we're still asking ourselves that question going into year four. Nicholas Goldsmith, that Gator fan 691, says, I think having a spring game was a big key to this year's team. Not necessarily a spring game, of course, but they did get the scrimmages in. But good point here by Nicholas, and I've brought this up before. When you're not getting a lot of five-star talent, you have to be able to develop, and that's what this staff does well. The defense will carry the offense until they gel. So, yes, we always harp on this staff's ability to develop, get guys in, develop them, let them become something over time. And look, this is Dan Mullen's team now. You know, a lot of Jim McElwain guys are gone. You know, he relied on a lot of those guys his first three seasons. And now going into year four, this is mostly Dan Mullen's players now, especially in key spots. Quarterback, of course. Running backs, you know, Damian Pierce was Dan Mullen's first class. Malik Davis still was a McElwain guy, of course. But everybody else there at that running back position, the transfers as well, you know, are Dan Mullen guys. There. So I think, you know, the offensive line that we throw under the bus a whole lot are, you know, complete Dan Mullen guys now, John Hevesy guys now. So it's time to see the development. That's something that they missed last year. And you guys know, I don't use COVID as a complete excuse for what Florida wasn't able to do last year. Was it a reason? Yes. Was it a complete reason? No. And they missed that last year. And if we're going to give this staff a whole lot of credit for being able to develop talent and not have the five-star after five-star at the five-star that Alabama has, that Georgia has, that Clemson has, Ohio State has, then if we're going to give them so much credit for developing talent to be able to compete with those teams and you miss a window to develop, then you know, you can't have it both ways and say, hey, this staff's so good at developing and then they don't have it and then blame for some kind of fall. And I think that's what happened last year. And I also think, you know, they played it too safe last year, too conservative by not having that and not going and being physical in practice leading up to fall camp and trying to keep everybody healthy. And like I think Mullen and them realized it too, that, you know, the team was a little soft last year. And you saw that late in games. You saw that on the defensive side of the ball. And now you come back, you get to develop that this year. And you developed it early. You started spring practice early. And you have about 3 weeks ahead of everybody else for these players. And as Mullen said, all spring, they get to go watch about extra 3 weeks worth of film now. And these coaches get to do it as well and identify who they can put on the field right now. So Now you have a lot of these young players who didn't get a spring last year, early enrollees who got a spring this year that the early enrollees last year didn't get to have, or the freshmen last year didn't get to have. So if we're going to give them a whole lot of credit for developing and putting guys on the field that they've developed, you didn't get that last year. You do get it this year. Maybe that's what helps Florida become a better fourth quarter team. And having more players on the field instead of having to rely on the same guys over and over and over again who are not getting the job done, you develop the young guys behind them. You can put them out there. You trust them to go out there and do their job. Steam Feed News says about the same, slightly higher on the defense thanks to the front seven, along with addition by subtraction of safety. Bye-bye Steiner, Davis, hello Dean and Torrance. Never too worried about offense, although our line is bleh. I'm higher on this team than most. That confuses slash scares me. Amanda, yeah. Steam Feed News there, the last line. I'm higher on this team than most. That confuses slash scares me. Don't let it scare you. I mean, as I said, you know, there's enough talent on this team. Dan Mullen's a good enough coach. It's just, it's not going to be a huge surprise if Florida goes out there and wins the East again. They're not going to be picked to do so, but it wouldn't be a huge surprise if they do it at the same time. Slightly higher on the defense, you know, that's kind of where I think all the notes we heard throughout spring, you hope that's the case. You hope that going against an overmatched offensive line translates to still going against better offensive lines and that you're going to play in the fall. You hope that the domination that we heard from the defensive line is just because they are that good. And then maybe the offensive line isn't quite as bad, but given what we've seen the last 2 years, you kind of see the worry there and why there is so much worry of the, you know, the defense, the good that we heard from the defense, maybe taken with a grain of salt till we see it against better opponents. Better opponents, of course, than just, you know, yeah, defense may be good enough to stop the Kentuckys, the South Carolinas, the Tennessees, but what are they going to do versus Alabama? What are they going to do versus Georgia? What are they going to do versus LSU? The teams that can throw out the same amount of talent, and the teams that we've seen this defense struggle with Todd Grantham the first few years, what's going to happen there? So I'm high on this defense too. I really like the front seven. I like the line. I mean, the linebackers, starting with Diabate, who got a lot of time last year, got better as the year went on. Where it is, he had a really, really good spring, along with the young guys, as we discussed, Hopper and Wingo. I think Florida's going to be a lot better at linebacker, and I really like the transfers they brought in too. They needed them, and you hope that when you got their need, you hit on those needs. Florida's done it in the transfer portal before. That's why I think you can have some confidence there that, hey, we've seen what Florida was able to do with one-year stop guys along the defensive line before, especially for somebody like Jonathan Grenard. Can those guys come in and have the same kind of impact? I don't want to put that pressure on them. Jonathan Grenard was really special in 2019. What he was able to come in and do and be not just a really good player, but he was a leader coming in right away and being a leader year one. The only year he was going to be here unless something bad happened. But if you go out there and perform like the way he did, you knew he was only going to be here a year. And that's the same thing I think we can hopefully get from Newkirk and Valentino. So, and then Sting Feed News, along with the addition by subtraction at safety. I think so too. Dean and Torrance have to be more consistent than Steiner and Davis. I'm saying have to, as in they need to be. Not that they're going to be. I don't know. I think it's hard pressed to be as bad as what we saw last year on that back end. We have to believe communication was the foremost aspect that this defensive staff, these new DB coaches, had to hit on along with Todd Grantham. I mean, that had to be the realization that not getting lined up, communication issues, not knowing where to be, not knowing what to do when the ball is snapped and still running around, that's unacceptable. And I still am very confused on why it happened so much last year. Those guys played a lot of football in this defense. And that's kind of where I go back to, you know, that's why I don't think COVID was a complete excuse for a lack of development, you know, because I'm sorry, this defense didn't change. And you still had those guys out there not knowing what they were going to do. And to me, it's completely inexcusable. So now I think, you know, I think a realization, a slap in the face comes with how pitiful that performance was last year. And now you get these guys in who were, for all intents and purposes, should have been embarrassed for the way they played last year and some of the reasons why it happened, mainly the miscommunication issues that you see there. So you hope it's a rallying point to not look that bad again and go out there and get it fixed with new DB coaches and Todd Grantham kind of really needing to rally and show he's worth the money he's getting paid as one of the highest defensive coordinators in college football, because that performance that Florida got last year was not it. So I think I'm probably higher on the defense too than I should be, and mostly because of that front seven and Elam there at one corner spot. And we're here. I think the best thing for me is not necessarily just hearing that the transfers did so well up front or, Diabate being a leader at linebacker. Diabate was a leader to me. He was going to get that role coming out of high school. I mean, that was just the way he presented himself, his football smarts coming out of high school. And, that guy's going to be a leader. And I didn't necessarily think it was going to be at the linebacker position, him switching positions last year, but him being a leader, there's nowhere near surprising to me knowing his reputation. But it was I think the best thing coming out of spring practice was all the young players that we got to hear about: Jason Marshall, Donovan McMillan, Tyron Hopper, Derek Wingo, guys that we wanted to see on the field last year that we didn't get to see a whole lot of. And now they got to prove their worth this spring. That's probably the most encouraging part for me. So getting those guys on the field and then making a name for themselves all spring was the most encouraging part for me. Jump past 15, kind of to go along that. He says, really, really looking forward to seeing this defense this year. Overall, I think this is a huge year for Mullen all around. And yeah, I agree. Kind of spoke on it before there, but the way 2020 was, we pinpointed 2020. When Dan Mullen was hired, 2020 was pinpointed with, okay, that needs to be the year everything is trending up. That needs to be the year. If you don't beat Georgia in 2018 and 2019, okay. But 2020 better be the year that you do it by, or you better be in Atlanta by year three. And he hit those two things, but it was just hit by a brick wall just because of what happened the week before versus LSU and what happened after and all the press conferences and all the weirdness that happened in 2020. It is a huge year for Dan Mullen. All the NFL talk, whether it's legit or not, no, I said, I think the interest will always be there. I'm not sure the interest is reciprocated right now. I think Dan Mullen's going to be at Florida for at least a few more years till I think, quote unquote, the reputation's back up there. I think the football side of it, the reputation is still really high, even given the inexcusable LSU loss and the Oklahoma thing. But everything that surrounds those games, I think, still leave the question mark about Dan Mullen, NFL and college. Right there. So I think this is a huge year. You go out there in 2021, and I think because the expectation is Georgia's supposed to win the SEC East, I don't think Mullen would be penalized too much in a national narrative if Florida doesn't win. But you got to go be competitive. You got to go be competitive with Alabama in week three. And I pointed to that game a whole lot. I think 2020 showed you just how close those teams can be. Alabama wins the national championship. Florida's got four losses, but that game itself shows you how close it can be. It shows you the potential of Florida. 2021 is going to show you how far the programs are. And a year after that game, a season after that SEC championship game, Alabama is still projected to be a college football contender, a national championship contender, and Florida is barely in the top 20 when you look at rankings going into 2021 season. So it is go show you're competitive versus Alabama. Go show you're competitive or beat Georgia. Even though 2018, 2019, you were still kind of molding the program in your image, you were still very competitive versus Georgia. Stats may not have shown it, the way the games played out. In certain aspects may not have shown up, but the final score, it's really what a lot of people are going to point to. What's close? Sometimes you can say, well, the game's not as close as the score indicated, but you still made a competitive game versus Georgia where people were still picking Florida the week of the game versus Georgia. And, pinpointing to 2020 as, okay, we've seen how close Florida is to Georgia these last couple of years. Florida should be a better team in 2020. We're going to pick Florida to beat Georgia in 2020, and it happened. So those aspects And also, go out there and beat the teams you're supposed to beat. You can't have that LSU game that we got last year. And honestly, step on the throat. If you're up by 20 in the fourth quarter, don't let teams claw and scratch their way back. You know, these early season games versus FAU and USF, if you're up, you know, keep the foot down. And, you know, go out there and show a nastiness. Where's the thumb wrestling moment? Everybody wants to go back to the first year he was hired and after the Missouri game and talking about competitive spirit and wanting to beat everybody in thumb wrestling. That's the damn moment everybody wants to see as far as Gator fans go. So I think that it is a huge year for Dan Mullen all around. So Alec Bennett says a couple comments here from him. I honestly feel like Dan Mullen will always average 25 plus points every year, regardless of who is under center or who the right tackle is. On defense, the spring has fortunately gotten my hopes up. I like our transfers. I love Zach Carter coming back and the five-star talent we have. I also like that our safety room cleaned house, and I think Crime will play the best players because he's old school. I'm still concerned about the second corner spot and the star position. I still don't trust Grantham, but I think the strong front seven, they will be better. A strong front seven is what helped Grantham in 2018, 2019. You had Zuniga, you had Polite, you had Grenard. Schuler was a transfer that really came in and helped Florida. You had some good linebacker play with David Reese. That front seven, it was better. You know, Vashawn Joseph there in Mullen's first year making some big plays versus LSU in the swamp. So, you know, a front seven really, really helped Todd Grantham, I think, mask some issues. It helped that secondary. You know, we're looking for improvement. Looking for improvement on the defensive side. You got to get back to the 2018, 2019 defense, and maybe even better. You know, if the offense isn't going to be – the offense isn't going to be what it was in 2020. It'll be different. It'll score some points. As Alex says, we average 25 plus every year under Mullen. Yeah, but would that be good enough? I mean, you probably have to be around that 30 mark in today's college football if you want to compete for championships. You got to probably hit that 30 mark on the offensive side. And, you know, 25 is not going to be enough if you don't get big improvement from the defense. So I do think, you know, you can probably say if the front seven is going to be better, this whole defense will be better. And look, the defense is going to be better. I don't think this is going to be one of those, you go back to Will Muschamp, you go back to Jim McElwain, where we would see putrid offenses and we would say to ourselves, well, there's no way it can be worse next year. Or there's no way it can be worse this coming up season when you compare it to last year. And they found ways to be as bad, or they found a new way to be bad. I don't think that's going to be the case on defense. They will be better. I don't know how much better, and partly because I think there's really nowhere to go but up. And like I said, we said that many, many times about a Jim McElwain and Will Muschamp-led offense. But I think there's too much talent. I don't think Dan Mullen's going to necessarily take that as well. I think he was probably embarrassed a bit by this defensive performance. I think there was a lot of sit-down meetings between him and Grantham and said, hey, look, this has got to be fixed. You know, there was not a lot we could do during the season last year, but, you know, spring practice is important. We got to get this fixed. So I think going into spring and the realization that it has to be better, and you're going to have an offense that you pretty much wasted, you know, last year. You're going to have an offense that's not going to be putting up points like that. Now, I also think that could probably help this defense, you know, a little slower paced offense. Defense may not be on the field as much. But you know, that's not to say the offense shouldn't have done what they did last year. You know, they had to put up points. But maybe that helps the defense in somehow, some way. I'm just kind of looking for, you know, I'm just kind of pulling at strings here, hopefully. But the defense will be better. It's just how much better, and will that be enough? When you look at your Florida schedule, the worries maybe at quarterback, you know, that we heard throughout the spring, the worries on offense, losing Kyle Pitts, Kadarius Toney. We'll see. The defense will be better, but you got to see if that will be enough there. So, all right. A few more thoughts we'll get into here. I like what you guys sent my way here. But before we get to the rest of the comments, it's time for the Final Four in college basketball, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with my bookie. Doesn't matter if you're betting the national championship winner or simply looking for player and game props, MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie.ag and use promo code GATORS to secure a deposit bonus up to $1,000. That's promo code GATORS to claim your first deposit bonus. College ball, NBA, NHL, UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, from tip-off to buzzer, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. All right, head back to the Twitter machine here and get a few more comments from everybody. Once again, thanks for sending your feedback here on this topic of expectations coming out of spring practice. And Jason at Jason Gator 1 says, we lost too much on offense not to think 9-3 or 8-4 for 2021. Plus, why would anybody change or have higher expectations coming out of spring practices? And kind of what I said earlier, Jason. Yeah, it's spring is what it is. I don't blame anybody for you know, if they want to change their expectations for spring. I necessarily wouldn't. I don't, like I said, I don't think anything was going to happen to sway my decision because, you know, where Florida was and how good I think. Look, I'm not predicting Georgia to win the national championship. I think they'll be a really good team next year. I mean, look, as bad as they were last year, they lost two games to Florida and Alabama. So, you know, there's no shame in that for Georgia. I hate admitting that, but you don't recruit at the level they recruit at and at least don't be really good. Can they be elite? Can they win the national title? You recruit like that, eventually you think it has to happen at some point, but it is Georgia. And it's been 40 years. So, I don't know. Like I said, you think it has to happen with that. Teams don't recruit that well and not win a national championship at some point. But, man, it's just one program that maybe doesn't. It's Georgia, just kind of the way everything has fallen from them the last 40 years. Had it in 2017, somehow gave it away there to Alabama. But, we'll see. We'll see there. But, yeah, I don't know. Just because of what I think most people expect from them, what they have coming back, maybe the expectation not changing too much from Florida. Alex Dalziel, hopefully I'm saying that right, Alec. Maybe it was not being able to see a whole lot other than Instagram videos, but I'm less confident. The defense won every scrimmage. Is that good? New coaches, same coaches where I don't want, time will tell. Yeah, that's, kind of back on the defense. 2020 was bad. 2020 was scary for how bad that defense was. And I even said going into spring, whatever happened in spring, whatever the thought process that we got out of it was going to be, it probably wasn't going to be overly positive. If the defense was going to get better, then people were going to worry about the offense because of how bad the defense was in 2020. Spring is used for a time to improve. I'll say that. And like I said, I think the defense was probably a little worse than what it really was in 2020. I just think the bottom fell out. I think confidence fell out as the season progressed. I don't think they were that bad. I mean, look, how did Marco Wilson get that bad? And, it's like he got worse every year. That rarely happens. Development, we give the staff a lot of credit, as I said earlier, for developing, but development of Marco Wilson didn't happen. And when Florida needed him to play nickel star position in 2019, he did pretty well. So what happened from 2019 to 2020? I don't know. The safety position did not develop worth anything. So maybe part of the reason moves were made there, the safety position, Brad Stewart and Sean Davis and Donovan Steiner, those guys didn't get better. They got worse. So that's the worry there. I think that's part of, needing to fix that mindset of how do those guys get worse? You brought in, I think, new coaches to help in that regard. I get it. If the offense was going to come out and dominate spring, then it was going to be, well, defense didn't get any better. It's the same old defense that we saw in 2020. So I think it's better that we heard the defense got better. And as you said, Alec, we didn't get to see a whole lot from the Instagram videos. A lot of it's word of mouth. coming out of spring. A lot of the notes from different sources were the same. And I do wonder if maybe by design, did Mullen want to control the narrative? And this is what got out there. I have a hard time believing what got out was not by design somewhat. Maybe to get out to give the defense some confidence. I think defense did improve. I think the defense did well this spring. I do think, as we said many times, I think the offense was held back. I don't think you saw what we know is going to be a big part of the offense in the quarterback run game. And that wasn't going to be a focus this spring. You're not getting a whole lot of a design run for Emory Jones or Anthony Richardson. We know they can do that. How does that help the defense prepare? How does that help the offense prepare when you know they can do that? You're not going to go run. When it's third three in a spring scrimmage, you work on different aspects. We know what's going to happen during the season. A lot of third and threes are going to be quarterback draws or quarterback powers or third and shorts or, going to be draws and powers from the quarterback position. You're not going to do that in spring. You're not going to get your quarterbacks banged up. You're not going to learn a lot about your quarterbacks in that situation in the spring, I don't think. Can it help your offensive line because you're going to have to rely on those guys to do that? I think you work on it in that fashion, but you're not going to run it a whole lot. And your quarterbacks aren't going to get hit. To me, it's more about the offensive line versus the defensive line and them kind of working on that situation by themselves without the quarterback. But I don't think you're going to work on it a whole lot. So I think a lot of things were held back. Not as earlier said, not going to worry about the offense too much under Dan Mullen. And we'll see there about the defense. And look, I think the biggest question, this comes up for me, of when you look at the quarterbacks and what we heard and Emory Jones struggling and Anthony Richardson probably on his heels out of spring, not too terribly surprised by that. I think, Anthony Richardson, given his size and stature, is going to be the guy who eventually takes over. And I think the best situation is Emory Jones comes out of spring, goes into fall as the starter, plays well enough to be the guy in 2021. And then Richardson just takes over. Emory's only here 1 year. And I think that Anthony's so close that he shows enough in fall camp, that he shows enough during the season that he's going to be the heir apparent. He's going to be the guy that takes over. He's going to be the guy that you cannot keep on the sideline in 2022. He may be that guy in 2021. He may end up being that guy. I don't know yet. Going into fall camp, Emory Jones is going to get, Dan Mullen said it last week, he's going to be the starter. He's going to be the guy. So unless Anthony Richardson just comes out and just explodes and makes the coaches make a change, we know Dan Mullen's not going to make a change unless he really, really wants to. So I think coming out of that, I think I wouldn't be too worried about Emory Jones and defense being better, winning every scrimmage in the spring, because I think in a way it may have just kind of set up for that. Christopher Dyer says, I feel they have a lot of things to change, work out, and fix. I don't feel any of that was addressed other than the defense during spring practice, and it's too early to tell if it's really been fixed or the offense is still a work in progress. There we go. Kind of just going back to the point I just made. I think the offense is a work in progress because of what you lost talent-wise at quarterback, at your skill positions. But I also think they're tinkering with some things and trying to figure out how to make up for those aspects. Ryan Spears, there we go. That's our winner for the Gators Breakdown Plus Hover Helmet. He says his expectation has not really changed. Glad to hear the defense seems to be doing better. Hoping Lingard gets some burn this year. And talk about burn. I mean, that's been the word that he was burning it up all spring, hitting some big runs in those scrimmages. The close to a game situation as the Gators were going to get this spring. Lingard was the running back, maybe making the most out of DeMarcus Bowman being on the sideline with a minor injury. And Florida just needing to find explosive playmakers at that position. Said it, and I'll say it till I'm blue in the face, and I'll say it over and over again. Florida needs more explosives out of the running backs. And it's not all on them. The offensive line plays a huge part in that too, but you got to find ways to get those guys in space. And it seems like what they've been able to do with Lingard, running some runs outside for some big yardage, some big gains. And I think you got to find a way to get the ball in his hands. You know, I think part of it's on him too. You know, you can't just go out there on the field and run the same play over and over again. That, okay, it's going to be either a little swing route or an outside zone run read. You know, he's got to be able to pass protect. He's got to be able to run inside. He's got to be able to be the full package at running back if you want him to be out there on the field more so than not. But man, it's got to be on him too. But I think you got to find a way, at least early on in the season, if he is limited, you find ways to use him early on in the season before maybe teams catch up on what he can and can't do. So maybe using sparingly in those first two games, and you know, when Alabama comes to town in week 3, you unleash him, even if it's, as I said, those outside swing passes or, you know, wheel route, as we saw for the running backs last year. We know Davis and Wright can do that. And so you look for those guys to do that too, but you also look for Lingard to be a more complete back and be able to be a receiver and hit some big runs out of the backfield as well. So hopefully, you know, he lives up to that 5-star status and is on the field for hitting some big runs, not only in spring, but when it counts in the fall as well. Wesley Price says his expectations are lower. Despite the lack of a QB run game in spring, I did not anticipate Emory struggling to throw the ball to this degree in year 4. 8-10 wins, with 9 being most likely. We need some lucky bounces against UGA. I like the high floor, but the low ceiling is disappointing at UF. And that's where, you know, year 4, it's big. It's big for Mullen and Emory Jones, and those two connected. You know, Emory was Dan Mullen's first quarterback coming into 2018, the first quarterback he recruited. What's it going to look like if Emory Jones does go out there and struggle? You know, what's going to be the thought process from the fan base? Of, hey, man, this was the quarterback you brought in. This is the guy who's been around Felipe Franks. This is the guy who's been around Kyle Trask, and it hasn't been developed into the thrower that we think he should be at this point. And look, the absolute floor here is going to be Nick Fitzgerald at Mississippi State. There's no way Emory Jones is worse than him throwing the ball. There's no way I believe it. Nope. He can't be that bad throwing the ball there. So I think you get probably as good as version of running the ball, if not better. I think Emory Jones is a better runner than Nick Fitzgerald. Different, slippery, more style of runner there. I'll probably at least put it that way. And he's got to be a better thrower than Nick Fitzgerald. So I think that's the floor. You go back and look at that offense in 2017 under Dan Mullen, you're going to get a lot of that. I think that should be the least of what you should expect for this Dan Mullen offense. But still, in year 4, with a quarterback of the reputation that Emory Jones had coming in, you do expect sitting behind and getting developed by Dan Mullen and Brian Johnson and being around the quarterbacks, especially Kyle Trask, and learning, you know, from the quarterbacks he could learn from, that you don't expect a struggle throwing the ball. So that, yeah, it was a bit worrisome that we heard that, and you know, the zip and being able to put touch on the ball, knowing when to put touch on the ball and not just throwing a fastball every time, maybe a bit worrisome, or maybe being Mr. Checkdown is what somebody labeled him during the spring is not what you want to hear. So, you know, as I said, it's all what we heard, but not what we get to see. Did get to see many. Yes, don't get me wrong. You wanted to hear better things. You'd like to hear, hey, the defense did some nice things. You didn't necessarily want to hear they controlled the whole scrimmages, especially the first couple that the defense just completely dominated. And it took a while for the offense to get in sync. And, you know, the first few drives from an offense were pretty ugly. But, you know, they were thrown in certain situations, as we said. So it's hard to take too much away going back to that. But, yeah, year 4 for Dan Mullen and Emory Jones are big because of the quarterback development, reputation, relationship Dan Mullen has had. In the past, you expect that the quarterback position not to necessarily take too big of a dip, and Mullen being able to figure out something, which I think he will. So I think he, you know, the expectation there while coming out of spring for the quarterback may be lower. I don't know if that necessarily translates into win losses expectations to be lower. Maybe if you think lower of the quarterback position coming out of spring, it may be limits what you thought Florida could do. Like if you were hearing Emory Jones is doing this and this so great, maybe you would have heightened your expectations of competing for the SEC East and you know, Florida, Georgia being neck and neck going into 2021. But I think with the reservation at quarterback, it's still Georgia a peg above Florida when you look at it that way. I think that's the way a lot of people look at it there. If we had seen maybe more of Emory Jones before now and you were hearing some good things out of spring practice, probably more of a neck and neck thing with Georgia. But I think with the struggles that we heard through the spring and not necessarily seeing a whole lot of Emory Jones these first 3 years, you kind of see why maybe the expectation is for Georgia to win the East and not Florida for the second year in a row. So there we go. That'll do it for those comments that you guys sent here for me. Thank you very much for sending those comments and vote in the poll. A lot of fun there. One more thing I wanted to bring up. Matt Wyatt, good friend in the program, covered Mississippi State, covers Mississippi State and when Dan Mullen was there. This is a few years out, but still, well, I think worth bringing up, still a cool conversation to kind of end this episode here with. And Matt Wyatt says, hearing the SEC will likely have a new football scheduling model rotation sometime within the next 5 years. Unclear if it will involve a reshuffling of divisions, but it will create more frequent rotations among all league schools. You know, that's something we've kind of been screaming for a little while here as SEC fans, especially when Florida and Auburn were playing in 2019. And it was like, oh, we want to see this game more. These two teams used to play a whole lot more. Or you don't want to wait every, 7 years before you go to the Grove, or every 7 years before you go to Texas A&M, or, you know, all those West opponents that it takes forever to cycle through. And look, it needs to happen. And I'm not sure how it happens without some kind of reshuffle or more conference games, or you have three permanents and you rotate everybody else. But then if you do that, if you don't increase the amount of games, then are you playing everybody in the East when you, that's how you determine an East winner and a West winner. So I don't know. They got a lot to figure out there, but it does seem like the SEC is going to look at it. I know the thought has been the SEC will not add any more conference games. I'm okay with that as long as you fill it in with Power 5 games and not the cupcake games. The schedule is hard, playing in the SEC year in and year out. But you can't sit here and say, well, no, we're going to stay at 8 conference games, but here's Sisters of the Poor again. No, you got to go fill that in with what Florida's doing with Utah and Cal and Arizona State and Notre Dame. Those schools, you got to continue that if you're not going to up and that's another thing. You know, Florida's got these out of conference games scheduled till, you know, a decade out pretty much. And, you know, if the SEC decides to go 9 conference games, will teams back off of those agreements or anything like that? So that's something worth watching there. But sometime within the next 5 years, you know, that, like I said, that's down the road, but, you know, within the next 5 years. So they could get a wild hair and say, all right, we're doing it next year. We're doing it 2 years from now. And I mean, it'd be fun. It will be fun. I think we all got a taste of what an all SEC schedule would be last year in COVID 2020. And it was fun. And, you know, you didn't get the Patsy games too much. You played Vanderbilt, but that was about it. You didn't really get, the blowout cupcake games that, they're fun if you want to take the family to the game and have a off, quote unquote, off week. But man, I like it when the swamp's rocking and those big SEC games, nothing else like it. So interesting there to look out for. And I think something that we'll be on the lookout for when the SEC hopefully announces something like that. Soon, hopefully would sooner than the next 5 years, but we'll see. But something I thought worth bringing up, and maybe starting a conversation with. So, all right, guys, that'd do it. Thankfully, I'm getting a little bit sore right now, but thankfully, made it through an episode here. Thank you guys once again for sending all your comments for here for this episode of Gators Breakdown and your expectations. Respond to me. Find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. If you want to continue the conversation, we'll go back and forth on Twitter. Join Gators Breakdown Plus. We can have the chat. We can continue it in the chat there, the Discord chat on Gators Breakdown Plus. So, like I said, I should be doing an episode for those guys too. Everybody who sent their comments in the chat there, I'm going to use those and give you a little bit more on your thoughts. You get to break down plus members and it's kind of extend this episode to what you guys had to say. So that'll do it for this episode of Gators Breakdown. You can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. Guys and girls out there, thanks for listening to this episode of Gators Breakdown.